second reading is taken from James chapter 3. Only a few of you, my sisters and brothers, should be teachers. You should realize that those of us who are teachers will be called to a stricter account. After all, each of us falls from time to time. However, those who never say anything wrong are truly close to perfection because they can then control every part of themselves. Once we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we control the rest of their bodies. The same with ships. No matter how large they are, and even if they are driven by fierce winds, they are directed by a very small rudder to wherever the captain wants to go. The tongue is like that. It's a small part of the body, yet it makes great boasts. See how tiny the spark is that sets a huge forest ablaze. The tongue is such a flame. Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a whole wicked world in itself. It infects the entire body. Its flames encircle our course from birth, and its fire is kindled by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea can be tamed by us, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. We use it to say, "Praised be our God and Creator." Then we use it to curse each other. We who are created in the image of God. Blessing and curse come out of the same mouth. This shouldn't be, my brothers and sisters. Does a spring emit pure water and brackish water? My sisters and brothers, can a fig tree produce olives? Or can a grapevine produce figs? No. And neither can a fountain produce both salt water and fresh water. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel today continues the readings from the Gospel of Mark. Today's reading, chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and the disciples set out for the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, Jesus asked the disciples this question: "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptizer, others Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "And you," he went on to ask, "who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Promised One had to suffer much, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and religious scholars, be put to death, and rise again 3 days later. Jesus said these things quite openly. Peter then took him aside and began to take issue with him. At this, Jesus turned around and, eyeing the disciples, reprimanded Peter, "Get out of my sight, you Satan. You are judging by human standards rather than by God's." Jesus summoned the crowd and the disciples and said, "If you wish to come after me, you must deny your very self. Take up your cross and follow in my footsteps. If you would save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. What would you gain if you were to win the whole world but lose yourself in the process? What can you offer in exchange for your soul? Whoever in this faithful and corrupt generation is ashamed of me and my words will find in turn that the promised one and the holy angels will be ashamed of that person when all stand before our God in glory. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It's been a hot, dry, and fiery season. The combination of drought, California and BC has dried up the forests. The hot weather has added to the problem. Then you throw in some winds and it only takes a spark. Just takes a spark and the fire takes off. With all that ready fuel and the hot conditions and no water around, it just takes off. My in-law's house was in kind of in the way of the Caldor fire in California. And it was particularly heartbreaking to find out that that one was an arson fire. It was set by an arsonist. Through their experience, I had a little bit of an inkling what it's like to be in dread of a fire that's headed your way. There are so many people that have lost their homes. Some people have lost their lives. Not to mention the thousands and thousands of square kilometers that have been destroyed. In the second reading today from the book of James, James talks about the power of the tongue, the power of our ability to speak, to do all kinds of things. And he uses some different metaphors. He talks about being the rudder of a ship and a couple of other things. But he also talks about the tongue being a flame and how it can ignite. And it can start fires that destroy and just rampage. In this world right now, we're living in a very hot and dry and fiery season. The world is in a hot, dry, fiery season. Beginning with a pandemic, the isolation and all the restrictions, and it's been over 18 months that we've been living with this pandemic. Folks are frustrated, they're angry, they're fed up, they're worn out, they're exhausted. But that's only part of it. There's so many other things going on. There's lots of refugees and migration. There's disruption going on all over our world. Things are changing. And whenever there's change present, there is anxiety and fear. Folks aren't so sure about the future. Folks are frustrated, and they're angry, and they're fed up. It's a hot, dry, fiery season that we're living in. And when there's no water around, when there's nothing to give hope and life, then it's easy for us to become tender for the fire. Folks, out of their anxiety and frustration and anger and all those other things, start cutting loose with words. Words that decimate. Words that start fires. Words that rampage and burn. Where the world is rife with all kinds of rumors, with all kinds of information and disinformation. And there's so much ready tinder. It is so easy to get caught up in the latest wind that sweeps through and pushes and burns things down. And things are getting burnt down. Without the cohesiveness of community, without hope, things burn and are destroyed. James knew the power of the tongue to ignite and how easy it is for fires to spread and for people and things to be destroyed. There, in the Ten Commandments, there's two commandments that talk particularly about how we use our language. The first commandment is the one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It matters what you say about God. It matters who you say that God is. And in today's gospel, it matters who you say that Jesus is. What do you profess faith in? So that's one of the commandments. The other one is the eighth commandment. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. More in easier language, don't lie about your neighbor. Don't say bad things about your neighbor. Martin Luther, in his explanation of this commandment, says, instead, put the best possible interpretation on what your neighbor says and does. And all that is so hard to do. In this hot, dry season, it is so easy just to believe the worst about people, to jump on the bandwagon, to jump in, to get caught up in the flame, so to speak, when we hear something juicy about somebody else. And oh, it's so easy to pass that on and be part of this forest fires that are burning in the world. James said, you have to control your tongue. And it is so hard. You have to develop the ability to be responsible. And those that say wise words, that control their tongue, he calls them almost perfect. Because to control your tongue, you have to do the work of controlling your heart and getting your heart in the right place. And as Christians, we are called to be people, what, who create fires and burn things down and destroy? No. We're following the one who brought life. We're following the one who said that love is the way. We're following the one who is about compassion, who, yes, could say straight words, but didn't give in to the tendency to write people off, but spoke words of hope and healing and encouragement to people and said, don't give up, trust in God. In this hot, dry, fiery season, instead of people that are contributing to the flames and the fires, as Christians, we're called to be firefighters. We're called to be those that are equipped with water, with hope, with comfort, with love, with compassion, who when the fires come roaring our way, there's no fuel. Because there's so much, we're so verdant, we're so green, we're so filled with water. Why are we filled with water? Because we know through baptism that the source of all that is, the God of the universe, is for us. And this God is a God of compassion and love and peace and joy. And we baptize ourselves in this. And Martin Luther says every day we need to be drowned or drenched in the waters of baptism. What a lovely image. Yes, we need to, in this world of hot, dry, fiery forest fires, we drench ourselves in the waters of grace and the waters of love and the waters of compassion. And we go around bringing peace, calming flames, not engaging in this right-wrong view that just dries things up and burns, but instead saying, it's not just about being right or wrong. What does love look like? What does it look like to deny ourselves and instead to ask what God wants and what brings life into this situation? It means speaking, being so filled with water, so drenched with the Spirit, that wherever we go are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, generosity. Oh, and that one that James likes, self-control. As children of the gracious God, as children of the loving parent, as followers of the one who was love incarnate, we are called to help put out the fires, to be a witness, to be an example, to spray love and grace and compassion and joy and peace, to go to do the work of listening, of seeking understanding, of being willing to engage in conversation and to hear and yet be clear that we're called to love. We're called to reconcile. We're called to be compassionate. We're called to be kindness. Places that instead of contributing to the burning and devastation are places, are people of nurturing and the promotion of life and love. At the beginning of the service, quite often we do confession, forgiveness. Today, given the text that we had, it seemed appropriate to move confession to now. So we have the chance to acknowledge the way that we've fallen short with our words, with our tongues. And so I invite you to stand and let us confess our sins. Life everlasting. Prayer, praise, and worship.
Come next Sunday after service, and everything's going to be outside, so you shouldn't really have to worry too much about COVID. As long as we maintain social distancing, we'll all be good. And if you need help planting the trees or shrubs, there will be people there to assist, and we'll be watering as well, and just enjoying the afternoon together, a chance to commune, if you will. I'm open to any questions anyone may have. Otherwise, praise God with this, and may we all be blessed through it. Thank you.
You have to sponsor a tree to get lunch.
That's a preference, but truth be told, no. It'll be offered to whoever would like to attend, and if you haven't, that's fine. You may choose to sponsor a tree or shrub afterwards once you see what's involved, and I'm certainly open to questions, and the church has my email address if you want to get hold of me. I'm certainly available to do that and answer any questions you may have. So I'm standing between you and lunch, so I won't keep you any longer.
Thank you, Claus, both for the announcement, but also just for heading this whole effort up.
Yeah, you're welcome, and to everyone online, have a wonderful day and a wonderful lunch, and enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thank you.
Just a couple of other announcements. For those online, we will be having opening the Zoom prayer room at 11:30. We'll do some fellowship time, but then there's the praying in color workshop that Pastor Laura will be leading, and that will be online in Zoom. So those of you that want to participate here, you need to hustle to some kind of device to get on Zoom. As you're aware, there's been new announcements about COVID and guidelines and restrictions, and so we're part of the REP, Restriction Exemption Program. So beginning next Sunday, you'll need to bring proof that you're vaccinated or proof of a negative COVID test within the last 72 hours, along with all the other guidelines that we've been following. Thank you again for your patience as we kind of work together to keep each other safe and those whom we come in contact safe.